Thank you, songsters. You know, only a person who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Saviour and has allowed him to change their life can actually sing those as a true testimony. In the fourth verse of the song, it says this, and I will find it for you. When at last in his presence I stand above, he will wipe all the tears from mine eyes, and I'll thank him for giving a wretch like me lasting hope beyond the skies. At this very moment, our dear friend Janet Cracknell, who passed away last night, will be standing in his presence. And because of the life she lived, she will meet her Saviour. And of course, she will see John again. And so, I'd like you to think of the family at this moment. And we're going to pray now and remember Janet. Thank you.
Good morning. Something we are genuinely really good at in the Salvation Army is creating a program and following it. And yet this morning it feels like that just needs to do that. Feels like it's important that we pray together as a family for Janet's family and her close friends and the impact that that will have. And we do come back to Holy Habits this morning, and you'll remember that that first Holy Habit that we looked at was prayer. And just how important that needs to be in our lives as Christians and for us as a church community as well when we gather. So I make no apology for this morning. We're just going to let God minister this morning through his Spirit. And we're going to take time. And if that's silence for an extended period of time, then so be it. We want to allow God to speak into this situation this morning. Many of you will be feeling hurt. You will be feeling lost this morning, and so we pray for you as well. We're going to take that time. If you would like to stand and pray out loud, if you would like to sit and pray out loud, please do. That would be really great to encourage other people within the fellowship as well. But like I say, if that's an extended period of silence, then great. We know that God will be speaking into that. Let's just, as a community, pray together. Father, hear our prayers. Amen. I'm going to continue that sense. I hope you really sense the Spirit of God in this place this morning. I'm going to sing a beautiful song, Be Still, for the presence of the Lord. Then once we've sung this song, we're going to continue praying. And Anne is going to come and lead us in some prayers together. Let's stay seated as we sing this song together.
Thank you. feels a real privilege to be able to share the prayer time today, at this moment. I don't know about you, but I can find prayer a joy. But also, it's not always easy, and in moments like this, we don't always know what to say. And sometimes, when I go to pray and I don't know what to say, I simply sit and wait for God. Other times, I will simply follow a process. I will follow a structure. Now, we've got that in the Lord's Prayer, but also one book that I use for my prayer time sometimes is Leslie Weatherhead's Private House of Prayer, because it gives guidance, which I found helpful. He shows how praying and prayer can be a natural progress, a natural progression. And in his house, he goes through every room. And if I may today, I'd ask you to join me and come with me through each room. Our first room, recognising the divine presence of God, standing in his presence. And isn't that something that we can hold on to at any time, especially when maybe we feel we need it more than others? The hymn writer gives us an insight when he writes, "Immortal, invisible, God only wise." We don't always know why, do we? I ask you to take a moment and in your heart, just now, recognise the divine presence of God in the universe, in the world, but in your and my lives, in your life. Make your prayer to God just now and recognise him. Recognise that awesome divine presence of God who's living in your heart and my heart just now. Make that prayer for yourself. Come with me into our second room, the room of praise and thanksgiving. Sometimes it's easier than others, isn't it? Simon and Annette asked me if I'd share with you Psalm 100. I think this was more than a coincidence, because if anything tells us how to praise and give thanks, then it's Psalm 100. As I read the psalm, take these words for yourself as your prayer of praise and thanksgiving. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, and thanks, give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. We move on to our third room, the room of confession and forgiveness. Psalm 100 that we've just read, that says the words there give us hope for this, don't we? Don't they? Because it says, "For the Lord is good, his love endures forever." And because of this, we can come with reassurance to this room of confession and forgiveness. And to help us make this prayer, perhaps we could share the chorus, which I think is going to come up on our screens, and the words, if you'd like to play the tune through, John, as I just share the words, it'll be one that you're familiar with. The songwriter says it so much better than I, or possibly even you can. If on my soul a trace of sin remaineth, if on my hands a stain may yet be seen, if one dark thought a wearied mind retaineth, O wash me, Lord, till every part be clean. For I would live that men may see thyself in me. I would in faith ascend the holy hill. and with my thoughts in tune with thy divinity, would learn how best to do thy holy will. Perhaps we can each share this chorus for ourselves, take the words for ourselves, make them personal for ourselves. As we continue on to our fourth room, the room of positive affirmation. Again, sometimes when we find ourselves in situations that seem unsure, that's what we need, isn't it? To say, to know in what we believe. You know, I know in the Salvation Army we have our doctrines and we can look at them, and because they're based in Scripture and we know what we believe. Positive affirmation. But we need to make it personal as well, don't we? And sometimes if people come back at us with arguments against our doctrines, I know I certainly don't have all of the theological knowledge in which to rebut that, but when that happens, we can all make it personal. I'd like to just share a few words with you and make these, as I read these, make these your prayer. Make these your personal prayer of positive affirmation. You'll be very aware of them when I read them. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word wrought peace within my heart, but I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. But I know whom I have believed. Positive affirmation. We go to our sixth room, intercession, with our personal petitions, which we make. We don't always sort of know what to do about things, but in Scripture, time and time again, we've been told, especially in the New Testament, to make our prayers. It's okay to ask. And Paul shows us this in Philippians. For he writes, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So just now, whatever your personal need is, then just now go ahead and in your heart ask him. It's okay to ask. Make your prayer for whatever your personal need is at the moment. We continue through the rooms and we go into our sixth room, the room of intercession. With our personal petitions made, we can move on to others and their needs. There are many obvious groups at the moment that need our prayers. The people of Australia, the people suffering in the Middle East conflict, changes that we in our own country are going to have to adapt to. For this moment, take the person who needs your personal intercession the most and silently give their name to God. We don't always know what to ask for. We don't know what the best route is for our friends. But we don't have to. So just now, take that name that you have on your heart and simply lift it and give it to God. Take that opportunity. And finally, we come to our seventh room, the room of meditation. At all times, we can be aware of God and we can focus on the goal. And so, to conclude our prayer time, in this room, I will again use Paul's words. Share these with me and make them your prayer. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or seen, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And all the people said, Amen.
Thank you, Anne, so much for leading us in that time together. Ewan, can we go back, please, to the scripture verses that are right at the top, the Acts verses? We this morning come back to holy habits, okay? And these are the key verses that we're looking at in this early point in Acts, the early point in the New Testament church. And the verses say they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This morning, we look at gladness and generosity. And that's where we find ourselves at this point. And we'll look at this more as we go through the meeting. But and that's going to help me. We're going to gather a few people. We're going to say volunteers, but you're probably going to be chosen. So smile if she comes to you. Show her some gladness. But we're going to ask young people to come and help us with something.
Am I on? Yes. Oh, yes. Ish. Just turn me on. I know I'm usually fairly loud, but I'm struggling a bit today. Right, guys, on the front row, with your backs to me. You know I'm talking about you. Daisy, Isla, Ollie, Emily, can you come and help me? Would you, Bella, would you come and help me? Felicity, do you want to come and help? This is my young people's squad. Okay, right, guys.
Now, they're quite young. How about a few older ones as well, Nat? Ooh. Did you hear the sigh when we Ooh. Said that?
Who should we pick? Who should we pick, guys? Okay.
I think we could do some youth in that.
Oh, that's a bit harsh.
Is it?
Okay, go on then. Susanna and... it'll be worth your while, honestly. Susanna and Jess. There's food involved. If I say that, everybody will volunteer, wouldn't they? Yeah, you see? Right, okay. And can I have a couple of more mature helpers?
You can sit down if you want to, guys.
John Ellison. Would you mind coming and helping me?
See, at this point, I was going to say, we're going to encourage some wise, strong adults to come and help us as well. People who make great decisions. You said Johnny.
Mature. Ooh. I said mature as well. That's probably a mistake. And my daughter has just said to me, get Libby. Mrs. Winton, would you mind joining us as well? As I said, there's food involved. So you're right. You're okay. Right.
No.
You're the wise, mature one.
Guys, okay. You can take a seat if you want to. You don't have to stand on display.
You can sit down.
There's a story that we look at in Luke chapter 1, and we read about Jesus being in the temple, And he's watching people putting their gifts of money into the collection box. I don't know if you remember that story. Some of them are really wealthy. And then along comes a widow. And she just puts just a few coins in. And Jesus comments that although she only has little, what she has given is everything. She's shown extraordinary generous in what she's given, despite not having much herself. So guys, we're looking at this concept of being generous. Can any of you tell me what the word generous means? Yes. It means being kind. What a great way to look at that. Thank you. Anything else? Helpful. Okay. And what about gladness? Are any of you glad today? Felicity's doing. Anybody glad? Yeah. Anybody glad? Ipswich one, you're right, yeah. Completely different atmosphere as we left Portman Road yesterday for a change. That was good. What about this lot, Annette?
Anybody else out here really glad? Good, thank you, Carol. That's very positive gladness as well. Anybody else? Anybody else glad? Thank you, Glennis. Okay, how about who is feeling generous today?
Oh, dear.
No hands.
Annette, I'll help you.
We need to change that. This holy habit of gladness and generosity. Why do you think it's together? They should go hand in hand. Gladness and generosity together. Well, maybe by the end of this, we might have a few more hands raised. We will see.
Okay, so what we're going to do, Libby and John, we're going to ask you to come and stand behind a box. You can choose your box, but please don't look inside the box. Any box you like. Choose your box. Fight each other.
Ignore the dodgy wrapping of it as well.
Okay, please don't look inside the box. Okay, and I'd like you to choose one of our wonderful squad of children. One of them to come and join you as you're part of your team. Oh, we've got a boys' team.
Come on, Jess.
Oh, Jess. Now, inside the boxes are the same item. Okay, they say have the same tool. Okay, but what we're going to ask you to do is have a chat with each other before you open the box as to how you might show generosity with whatever you find in it when you open it. So have a little chat with each other. How are you going to be generous this morning with whatever you find? You got an idea? Great. Libby, Jess, would you like to open your box and try and show people what you have inside? Talk us through it, Jess. What have you got?
We have some sugar donuts.
Ooh. How many have you got, Jess? Eight sugared donuts. Oliver, would you like to open your box? Have you got donuts as well?
Ah. One donut.
One donut. So, if you would like to remove your donut or donuts, you've got a plate, you've got a knife. Let's see how generous you are. Now, because it went down so well before, John, can you do the whole hotel music again for us, please? Because it was so good last time. John's just going to do cabaret for us. While these guys decide how they're going to be really generous. Go for it. However you'd like to be generous. So you can see on the boys' plate, the one donut, the majority of it's still there, and then two small bits have been cut up. And John said, we're going to keep the big bit, and we'll give the little bits to two other people in the congregation. Oliver turned around and said, no, we'll have the two little bits, and we'll share the big bit with everybody else. Charlotte, you're doing a good job. Is it good? It's a bit out of date, but don't worry about it.
Oh, we have movement over this side. Well, well, well. big
might be band that did all right out of it, didn't they?
You've got the big one, the result. It's a good job you're not playing your instrument, eh? Apologies to the diabetics in the room. This is not for you, I'm afraid. Sorry about that. Smiley faces because people are getting a little bit of a sugar rush from those donuts.
Jess, Andy's really eyeing up those donuts. I told you he was good.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. So, out of all of those donuts, how many people do we reckon we've fed?
If you got a piece of donut out of that, could you put your hand up, please?
This could lead to another story altogether, couldn't it? Not quite 5,000. Look. Now, all those people with their hands up, did that make you glad?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. We're glad. Because... I'm the extra special one, I think, for the pianist. Thank you, John. You see, through Libby and Jess's generosity, they have made lots of people glad. They didn't decide to keep it for themselves. They could easily have done. Could have shared 8 donuts between the two of you. Oh, my days. Even that might have been a bit of a step too far for me. And even John and Ollie, bless your heart, Ollie.
Yeah,
you didn't
well done,
listen
Ollie.
To him. That's a good thing. You kept the 2 little bits for yourself, and you gave Ben the big one. Well, that's very generous. John's like, why did we do that? But through their generosity, they have made lots of people glad. And that's what we can do. Oh. Oh, Ben is being extra generous back.
Make sure you share it with your mum.
So generosity can mean lots of things for different people. And sometimes it's not always easy to be generous, is it? Really. When you've got those donuts, it's hard to give them away. When you've got something really good, it's hard to give them away. But you see the impact that we can have through being generous. And through sharing and through giving, the gladness that we can bring to other people. So just remember that as you go through each day. What you have, could you be generous with it? Could you share it more? And I'm not just talking about material things or food. What about love, time, prayer? Let's just think about those things and be generous and share God's generous love to each other. Thank you very much, guys.
I Brilliant.
Think that's a bit of a bonus, getting a little bit
Enjoy
of a donut
that.
Today. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Give them a clap, will you? And as they do, the singing company are going to come and sing. Singing company.
Hello, everyone. We had decided on a song to do this morning with the young people from Sunday school. However, it felt appropriate to change that song. And if anyone wants to come up and join in, it's an action song. You know I love an action song. And we're going to sing and do the movements to Our God is a Great Big God. So if all the young people can come forwards, please. All the little ones. Isla. Come on, you've all had a sugar rush. You should have your energy. And if you feel able to stand and do the actions, amazing. If you just want to sit and laugh at us, that's completely fine. But this is Our God is a Great Big God. Thank you.
Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God.
done, guys. Thank you very much for sharing. That's wonderful. Right. So now you've done that, you're all warmed up and ready for Sunday school. So we're going to invite our children to go out now, and youth, oh no, youth, you're staying in today. So children to go out to Sunday school. Before you go, let's just share a prayer for you and all your teachers, that you'll have a great and great time learning about Jesus. Dear Lord Jesus, we just thank you for these young people who are with us in this church. We pray for them, that you will protect them, that you will comfort them, that you will encourage them, that you will fill them with your joy. And I just pray now as they go out to learn more about you and your love, that you will just bless them, bless the teachers, bless those who are looking after them. And I pray that you'll give them all a really happy and blessed time together. We also think of all the children that are associated with this church during the week, those who come to Explorers, those who do lots of different other activities. We just pray for your blessing upon that ministry too, and anything else which will happen during this coming year. Lord, I just pray this all in your blessed name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. So as the children go out, we'll take up the offering. And during the offering, the band are going to bring us a little piece of music entitled, I Will Enter His Gates. Thank you.
To come and worship here in this lovely place. But we realise that it takes finance to keep this church running. And so I ask that as we have given in our offering this morning, that we will once again use this money wisely for your kingdom's sake here in this church. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Just to remind you that tea and coffee will be served following our worship in the community hall, and there will be an open-air witness just after 12 o'clock on the triangle, which you're invited to come along to. There's no evening meeting here this Sunday, so don't come along or you'll be on your own, okay? On the 26th of January, we have the Churches Together United service, which will take place here in our hall at 6:30, and Major Barry Wilson from Norwich is the guest speaker for that occasion. On the 25th of January, we're going to have an Australian Bushfire Appeal fundraiser, which is breakfast, butties, cakes, teas and coffee. And that's from 9:30 to 1 on the 25th of January. But when we leave today, there will be a bucket. Yes, we've got great faith. There'll be a bucket, and we're going to have a retiring collection. And if there's anything you can add to that bucket that will go to the Australian Bushfire Appeal, please be very generous. Finally, we have a couple in our meeting called Ken and Val. You heard Ken pray this morning. Ken and Val came from Wales to deal with a family funeral, and they've been around for a little while now, sorting out things. But they've been to every event that we've had on in the Salvation Army. And if they weren't going back this afternoon, I'd sign them on as soldiers of the Corps. But it's been good to meet with you, and I hope you've made a lot of friends and that you'll remember us when you go back to Wales. And we pray that you'll have a safe journey. Thank you very much for listening.
So at this part of the service, we just thought it might be nice for people to share. Anybody would like to share, in the last week, what has made you glad? Can you think of anything? Oh, Angela. Right, roving Simon will come. Angela.
Thank you. We bought a new car yesterday.
Wow.
And it's a cash car, and but it's better than the one we've got now. So I praise God, but also for Dad's health is improving too. So I do thank God for that as well.
Wonderful. Thank you, Angela. Oh, Claire. New cars are always exciting. So where's that nice new car?
I haven't got a new car. Most of you know that I coordinate the Ipswich Winter Night Shelter, and this week, four of our guests moved into permanent accommodation, or more permanent accommodation than we could offer. So really glad about that.
That's wonderful news. Brilliant. Oh, Trish.
Well, I haven't got a new car. In fact, I've got an old banger. But she still goes. In fact, she passed her MOT before she was serviced, so that tells you something. And I praise the Lord for that. But I thank the Lord this week because I have been feeling so much better. The pain has been getting easier. And I thank the Lord for that because it's been very, very grim. Okay, thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Trish. Oh, behind.
A lot of you who know my daughter has been really, really poorly. And this week, it seems that we found part of the answer to getting her on the road to being better. So I thank God for that.
Wonderful. That's great news. Thank you, Dory.
I just want to say how lovely it was to come back and find the cafe open this week and to welcome guests coming in using the Oasis Cafe. It was really nice to see friends together coming in and starting off the new year.
Wonderful. Yep, that's great news. Thank you, Christine.
As you know from my prayer, we've recently lost my mum, and on the 12th of this month, sorry, on the 12th of December, sorry, I'm a bit muddled, and on the 8th of this month, which seemed an interminable time to wait, we finally put her to rest, and I want to record publicly my thanks to the Army for Doug and Glenys and for June and Bill who were there and supported us and prayed for us. But also, we've been stopped in the street by members of this church to say, how did it go? How was it? Etc. And it's absolutely touched us and overwhelmed us. And I want to thank you all. You took us in. You took my mum in when she was here on her own. And I'm 300 miles away. And June and Bill took her to their hearts, and they looked after her, and they faithfully visited her in the hospital, even when I couldn't. When I was lying ill myself, they went in and looked after my mum, and I'm just so eternally grateful to this wonderful church in Phoenix. You will always be in our hearts, and you will always be in our memories. Thank you.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you. And, you know, that's a really important thing, is that actually we are a church family, but we can be an extended church family. We don't always have to be in the same building. We can share with others too. So thank you, and I'm glad you're glad. I'm glad that we've been able to support you through this time as well. Thank you. Anybody else? It's good to have hands all over the show. Wonderful.
As many of you know, that I'm a teacher at Chantry Academy, And I don't always look forward to going back to school after a holiday. But this week's been great to see some of our young people who have difficult times during the holidays and to see them come back and be happy and safe.
Great. That's really good. Thanks, Sue.
Me and Maggie would just like to say thank you for granddaughters. We had a new granddaughter on Wednesday from our daughter Rebecca, and her name is Afia, which is she was elder of the church in Colossae, so you'll find her in the New Testament. And also for our eldest granddaughter Faith, in her family there was a big prayer answered, and so she got so excited she started jumping up and down on the sofa. She's four, and she said she wanted to give a present to Jesus. So Mommy said all he really wants to is her heart. So she put both her arms up and said, "Jesus, here's my heart." And then she said, "You can have all of me." And then she said, "For supper."
Oh, bless her. How sweet. Oh, that's lovely. Thank you for sharing that beautiful story. Carol, down here, you had your hand up, didn't you? Sorry, Simon. Come on.
Come on.
Thank you. Well, today is my wedding anniversary. Thank you. 57 years ago, I took my vows, and I'm glad that the Lord helped me pick the right person.
Oh, isn't that lovely? Congratulations, Carol. Oh, Christine's back with another.
And I'd just like to say how lovely it was to see so many people come to the Churches Together choir rehearsal Thursday evening. I thought it went really well. And I don't come to Songsters rehearsal, but everybody was made to feel very welcome that attended for that rehearsal. And thank Kevin for leading us and guiding us.
Wonderful. So we're expecting big things then from that choir. Okay. Oh, Jess.
Thank you. I got offered a place at university for the course that I wanted to do at my ideal university, so I was just glad about that.
Wow, wonderful. So many tales of gladness for the week. That is absolutely wonderful. And it, do you know what? It warms us who might not have had such a good week. I don't know, I've not had such a bad week, really. But for those of us who maybe not had such a good week, it warms our hearts to hear of each other's gladness and the good times and the brilliant times. Of course, there are people in their sad times as well. But it's good to share the glad times. It's good to share the joy. And I just pray that we'll continue to do that throughout this year, that it will be a place of gladness, a place of joy in this church. Thank you for sharing.
Great. Thanks, Nat. Ewan, can we go straight to that video, please? Don't worry if you can't read the words. They're just subtitles for if you were watching it at home and you were that far from the TV. So please don't worry about that. But here's a really short video to introduce this habit further.
Exploring the habits of gladness and generosity, it's important to remember again that there will be times when this comes quite naturally and is quite easy, times of joy and celebration. There'll be other times when to be glad and generous is much more challenging, demanding, and difficult. It's really important to explore this habit because it shapes so much the kind of world that we want to live in and create and be. If we live in a world that's mean and me-centred, is ungrateful and moaning all of the time, then that just diminishes life. But when we live gladly and generously, everybody is blessed.
The assets and the money of the church don't belong to us, they belong to God. The Finance Committee firmly believes that their role is to serve the church and to find the finances that the church needs to do God's work. Andrew Roberts says that generosity is a prophetic and cultural symbol in a world of avarice and greed. We believe that the M&M giving by churches is not just about buying the services of a minister. Andrew Roberts talks about giving with gladness and generosity. That comes from 2 Corinthians 9 to 7, where it says God loves a joyful giver. Stewardship is not just about hoarding money and saving up as much as we can for a rainy day. And we would want to see congregations giving with gladness and generosity, and not just view it as a financial transaction.
In my book, Holy Habits, I share the story from Rwanda of a lady who found the generosity in her heart to forgive the man who had murdered very violently members of her family. I found that story deeply, deeply challenging, not least in the context of many of the churches that I've been part of or served, when sadly, very often, our petty differences and bitternesses and disagreements get in the way. Living gladly and generously is a means of grace and forgiveness and freedom.
Over the years, I think Commitment for Life has really given churches a chance to understand what is happening in the world. Life-giving faith is about the love that God has given us, but it's also about giving life to others. Defiant hope is really looking at the structures that keep people poor and doing something about it ourselves. Generous love, that's the giving generously, giving gladly for what we have received from God. Commitment for Life has been a real success within the United Reformed Church over so many years and will continue to do so for many years to come.
There are lots and lots of ways in which we can practice the habit of gladness and generosity, both personally and collectively. So collectively, the Food Hub Project, for example, is a great example where Christians go into the supermarkets, get with their permission, obviously, food that's just about at its sell-by date, and then give that to others. The Food is Free Project is another great example.
Food unites us. We used to share it. We used to grow it together. And for some reason, we've forgotten how rewarding that can be and how unifying it can be. When we meet in the garden, all of our differences fall by the wayside. It can seem so daunting these days, you know, when we flip on the TV or look at the news headlines, how we can actually make the world a better place. But what we realized in planting these gardens out in our front yard and sharing the harvest with our neighbors is that we made a real difference in our immediate sphere of influence. We realized that we can build community anywhere. When you focus on your little piece of the world and make a difference there, if we all do that, the world is changed. What started as a front yard garden is now evolving to become a worldwide movement. On every continent, over 190 cities around the world are starting Food is Free projects. We believe in creating a new kind of world, one of possibility, one where we see that you and I are connected, that we're here to help each other and we're in this together.
Where people grow food and give it away. There are no charges involved at all. We can do things individually. We can pay for somebody's meal in a restaurant. We can waive a fee that we might otherwise take. Sometimes it's the smallest act can be the means of great blessing to others. So let's be imaginative and creative, and let's try and practice this habit on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, and then perhaps make an annual special effort to do something really big and exciting.
A preacher was once visiting a church and was told in no uncertain terms by a grim-faced steward that this church did not do any of this enthusiastic happiness. Theirs was, be ready for it, theirs was a deep joy. You ever felt that? The deep joy. Having endured an hour of their deep joy, the preacher encouraged the gathering to send a message from the depths of their joy to their faces, as a smile or two would not go amiss. And with that, he promptly left. How do you practice gladness and generosity in your day-to-day life? Do you practice it? We've now looked at prayer,
biblical teaching, serving, and eating together since we commenced this journey last July, looking at these holy habits in Acts chapter 2. Are you managing to practice any of these habits in a more intentional way? And if so, are you seeing fruit from that at all? As I think I will always say when I stand here, I strongly recommend that if you're able to join a small group to explore this habit further, then please do consider that, particularly this month. There's a lot of material available. Small group leaders have that material, and I'm also really happy to send that material out to you individually if you'd like to see it. But with this particular habit, there could be a number of angles to look at. So don't be surprised if you sit in one session and look at it and only get through a third of it. It might take two or three sessions to look at gladness and generosity. You might need to look at our gladness ourselves. Are we actually glad? And our response to that, might take a month for some of us, mightn't it? Are we actually glad? Do we respond to that? Do we display gladness? But then more to explore that generosity element. That could find us looking at all sorts of things. It could be generosity with our thoughts, our feelings, our words, our actions, our time, our money. Why not consider delving a little bit deeper this month within a small group? Now, do you remember, as a child, writing thank you letters or the equivalent? Do you remember that? We've just gone through that in our house post-Christmas. Now, I wonder which camp you fall into. I would imagine there are those who perhaps would have gladly done that and enjoyed that process. And there would be those of us that would perhaps not appreciate that quite so much, because actually, we just wanted to spend time playing with the toy we'd been given rather than writing the letter to say thank you. At one level, forcing people to be pleased with and grateful for a present emphasizes the powerlessness of the recipient, but also the powerfulness of the giver. Within the Holy Habits book, Andrew Roberts says, is that how God wants it to be, our relationship with him? We don't think so. Or is the way that God deals with us far more like the feelings we might give when we give a toy to a child? And in that moment, rather than ignoring it or snatching it or taking it off on their own, you get that huge beam of a smile. They generously let you or others play with that toy with them. We don't need a letter of thanks in that moment, do we? But because Ewan's still in the room, it is lovely, Ewan, it is lovely to receive such letters, isn't it? Especially if you're not in the moment where that gift was given. I can't help but think God is in this, as always. As I was preparing for this in the last couple of weeks, when I was thinking about gladness and generosity, the face of John Cracknell just kept coming into my mind. That regular beam of a smile that would come from the baritones, but often it would be, right, boy! Right, boy? And I have a feeling it might have been, all right, girl, this morning as they've met again. And I think about Janet, when our two were both babies, at that point, Janet would always come and make a beeline and come and say hello, and she'd always go to the children. She'd always want to know. And her beam of a smile when one of them was brave enough to go. Generosity and gladness being given and received. And yet sometimes at another level we need prompting about how to respond to things, don't we? We need reminding to think about others and not to be selfish. See, the thing with these holy habits is that we're starting to look at the world through the mind of Christ. And how to embody that in our outlook and how we live. That mindset and that way of living should then hopefully become habitual until they eventually become instinctive. Some words in... Oh, Ewan, if we can go on to the PowerPoint, please, bud. Some words that we read in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 4 to 9. Thank you. Say this: I always thank you, my God, for you and for your gracious gifts you've given. Now that you belong to Christ Jesus, through him, God has enriched your church in every way. This is Paul in the church of Corinth. With all your eloquent words and all your knowledge, this confirms that what I told you about Christ is true. Now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be free from all blame on the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says. and he has invited you into partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. These verses show that thanksgiving is an expression of gratitude, and gratitude is a response to grace, the love of God freely and generously given in Christ. It's also important to notice that Paul himself, he notices that thanksgiving is not just a response given of the grace given to him, but also for the grace that he can see has been given to others. He can see that the Corinthians are being enriched in what they know of Christ. He can see the ways that they speak of Christ. He can see the testimony, like many of you have given, to what Christ is doing in their lives and how the gifts of the Spirit are developing in them. He sees that they are becoming more Christ-like, discerns that this is the result of God's love, and thanks God for it. There's a number of Greek words that Paul uses as he teaches people and as he writes, words that particularly point us towards deep spiritual and theological truths. One of them is this word, charis. Anybody know what charis would translate as, what we might translate it as? Gift, grace as well. Eucharista, a word that is often translated as thanksgiving. Perhaps why the service of Holy Communion in other churches is often called the Eucharist, a service of thanksgiving. So when we receive the grace of God, when we recognize and accept things as a gift from God and offer them back to him with ourselves in thanksgiving, we receive ourselves back again from God, transformed with them. In other words, the grace starts to take root in us, and it begins to be expressed as fruits and gifts of the Spirit, or charisms. I think that's right. A gift freely and graciously given. A grace. And then in a profound and proper sense, we become charismatic. I wonder if you see yourself as charismatic this morning. So the love and grace of God received thankfully in worship and prayer leads to mission. Worship and mission go together. You've heard Psalm 100 this morning. Shout for joy to the Lord. You've heard those verses this morning. And in Psalm 100, it emphasizes gladness and generosity being expressed through thanksgiving in worship. Now, if that is the case, if we were to look at Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 to 11, it shows them being expressed through thanksgiving in service. I'll read these in a moment for you. For context sake, Matthew chapter 10 is where Jesus calls the 12 disciples to him and gives them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal disease and sickness. He's been doing this himself prior to this point. And right at the end of Matthew chapter 9, Jesus says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. "Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. And as you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey, or extra shirt or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave." So the key part in this for what we're looking at is towards the second half of verse 8. So if I go back to those initial verses, and then in yellow there, "Freely you have received, freely give." The generous love that the disciples have freely received from God prompts them to share it generously with others around them. Not just through preaching, that's in verse 7, not just through the preaching, but also through engaging with people practically, seeking to release them from whatever prevents them living to their full potential. And it's also interesting to note that the disciples receive the love of God. They are prompted not just to give gladly and generously to others, but also to receive gladly and generously from others. They are generous in letting others be generous to them. How are you doing at that? Are you good at letting others be generous towards you? Do you receive gladness and generosity well? as well as giving it. So there's some of our challenge for this coming month. As we look at this mindset of Christ, with a view to it becoming habitual and instinctive in our lives, how will you practice the habit of gladness and generosity in the coming days? How should we as a church family practice the habit of gladness and generosity? How should we do that within our local community? These habits should be infectious, and they should encourage positivity in others. Shall we see if we can do that this month as we explore together? Let's pray. Most gracious God, all good things come from you and are signs of your love. May our gratitude fill us with gladness and our gladness with generosity, that we may express our joy in the service of others and give in thankfulness for what we have received. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Sharing with us today, and to conclude our service this morning, we're actually going to sing the song that the band played to us, if you recognised it. It's "I Will Enter His Gates." I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Let's stand together and we'll sing this through a couple of times. Is that okay? Thank you. And yes, we'll let the band lead us. Thank you, Ben. May enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. And Lord, I just thank you so much that we've been able to join together in worship together in your house. I pray, Lord, for your blessings over us. Help us to remember this week and through these coming months to be glad and to be generous. And Lord, I just pray for your Holy Spirit to come and just fill this church anew again, and for you to just send us out with your spirit of love and thankfulness and joy. Be with us all this coming week and forevermore. Amen. Amen.